Welcome to the service. Continuing on this week, if you're visiting us or you weren't here last week, we're doing a 5 or 6 week mini-series on the spiritual gifts, and that fits into a broader, much longer series on 1 Corinthians. And we're in 1 Corinthians 12-ish. If you want to grab a Bible, you can turn there. We're not sticking strictly to one passage. We're bouncing around. And a good question that somebody asked me after last week's service, where we started to look at all the gifts and what they are and how you know you may have a specific gift, a spiritual gift that God has given, where I came up with this list. I mean, it's a good question. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Those are the main areas where we draw our understanding of spiritual gifts from. And tonight you'll see, I'm going to move from the clear, evident gifts, the ones that are more explicitly mentioned in the Scriptures, and later on tonight I'm going to talk on a couple that are not specifically stated as such, but may very well still be gifts. We need to start from what's obvious and move to what might be vague, but no less true, if that makes any sense. So last week, if you weren't here, we looked at apostles or an apostolic gift. We looked at teaching, the gift of a teacher. We looked at evangelists, the gift of evangelism. We looked at the gift of a pastor or pastoral shepherding type gift. We looked at the gift of miracles. We looked at the gift of healing. We looked at the gift of helps and the gift of service. We looked at the gift of administration. We looked at the gift of the discerning between spirits. And we looked at the gift of faith. So if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to get the CD, not because it was fantastic, but because your gift might be in last week's sermon, and when you hear the gifts this week, you think you were overlooked, and none of the ones we deal with tonight are yours. And have a listen to that. This evening, you'll know, if you were here last week, we ran out of time, and so we're going to wrap up the rest of those gifts and make one or two closing comments before we dive into a significant chapter next week. So we'll pick up with the same format that we had last week, defining a brief sort of a definition of what the gift is, and then a bit of exploration as how you could possibly know whether or not you have this gift. So many people have been coming to me over the weeks that we've, these few weeks that we've been doing spiritual gifts, and saying they never even knew that was a gift. They never even knew, or just a blank stare, how on earth do I discover my gift? I'd love to know if I have a spiritual gift. You know, I'm a nice person, I love God, but like, what gift has He given me? And that is a really, really good question, and well worth taking the time to find out, and we'll tackle that a little bit later. So let's pick up with encouragement, the gift of encouragement. These people, these are the people you want to be friends with, the people with the gift of encouragement. What is the gift? It's the gift, and the ability is the gift to motivate, to encourage, and to counsel others so that they mature in their walk with God. Motivate, encourage, and counsel. People who have the gift of encouragement are like a breath of fresh air in the body of Christ. And they're not just happy people. There's a difference between being overexcited and happy and bouncing off the walls and being a caffeine addict and having the gift of encouragement. You can talk a lot and not necessarily be encouraging. You can smile a lot and not necessarily have the gift of encouragement. Remember, these things are spiritual gifts. They're given by God. They're fueled by the Holy Spirit and for the building up of the church. The gift of encouragement is a spiritual gift that's given. That when you speak to people or when you email them or you have some interaction with them, God uses the content of what you're saying to lift them up, to encourage them, to motivate them, to keep them going. And how would you know if you have this gift? Well, one of the things that you could tell already is that people would seek you out for advice and for encouragement. People who are down, who need an encouraging, often seek out encouragers, people with that gift. It's the same thing if you've got the gift of teaching. People will come and ask you questions and say, hey, I don't know the answer to this, do you? People who are down, who need encouragement, they'll seek you out. ask yourself this question. Are you often drawn to, or do you seek out hurting people? People with the gift of encouragement long to encourage others. They're looking for people to encourage. Because that their gift is, when their gift is working, they feel useful. They feel like God is at work in them. You know, some of you, and we're going to touch on this a bit with the mercy gift later on. Some of you, you see people who are struggling and you're down and you're like, ooh, I can go that way out of the church, you know. We're like, whoa, I need to go and speak to that person. They're smiling. Like, you're averse to people who might be the sagging sunflowers. And people with the gift of encouragement, they're looking for the sagging sunflowers. They want to use their gift because they know it's going to lift people up. Are you a patient person? Are you patient with people? People with the gift of encouragement are often patient because sometimes you have to listen before you can speak, and that sometimes takes great patience. Your words can't just go in there and say, hey, by the way, blah, 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 I just want to say this, and I'm hitting and running, yeah? The gift of encouragement is sometimes more listening than speaking. And do you have the ability to believe for others in the midst of their struggle? Sometimes the gift of faith and operation there together with encouragement. People are down, struggling to believe, struggling to have faith. And God uses you, like I said, as wind in their sails to believe again for themselves. That where is God? Or where is God in my situation? Where is God's provision? Whatever it may be, direction. God uses you to encourage you. I mean, feedback is a really good way to discern this. Do people mention to you, hey, you are such an encouragement to me. When you speak, when you come along, you are an encourager. I just want you right here next to me. I want you on speed dial because you're the kind of person that encourages me. And the last question to ask is this. Would you rather make contact with somebody than refer them to somebody else to handle an issue with them? I think people with the gift of encouragement, they're not that keen to refer somebody, say like, okay, well, here's somebody else's number. They will help you with whatever difficulty you're going. They're rushing in there. They want to get close to people because God can then use the gift that He's given them to lift that person up. They don't want to refer. They want to get stuck in and involved in people's lives. I want to encourage you. I don't have this gift so much. I'm not a very encouraging type kind of guy. But I do want to encourage you that if you have this gift. And again, this is a sort of a thing like we said last week, that just because you don't have the gift of encouragement doesn't mean you should just tell everyone, you know, go and find the encouragers because I don't have anything nice for you. But the people who God has specifically given this gift to run with it. This is one of the underutilized gifts in the church. And I want to encourage you and stir you up to put it into action. So often, people with this gift think something, but they never actually get around. They know that God is wanting them to go and speak to that person, to phone that person, to email, whatever, and they hold back. They think, surely not. It's going to seem weird that I just phoned the person out of the blue. They're going to think I'm a wingnut, you know, like, I haven't spoken to you for ages, but, you know, why are you calling me, you stalker? And they're going to be all, like, freaked out. And so you don't. You hold back. You stay within yourself. But that's God speaking. That's God wanting you to encourage somebody. And I want to urge you to fire that up, especially in the church. Especially in the church. Encourage one another. And if it's not your gift, still do it. It doesn't take much to encourage people. All of us in the church need encouragement. Amen? Amen. We all need encouragement. I remember a sermon I preached about 2 or 3 years ago in the morning service. And normally my sermons in the morning service are even worse than the ones in the evening service. So I was going home middle of the morning, and I was just walking to my car, and I was thinking, oh, man, you know, I'm such a loser. Like, that was just terrible. It really wasn't that great. It really was bad. I think they burnt the CD of it. And I was just walking to my car thinking, oh, you know, it's like, bleh, 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 bleh. And everyone's like looking at you thinking, they didn't learn anything, didn't feel like God was doing anything, help people. And one of the old dudes in the church who used to be an elder grabbed me in the car park. I didn't see him coming in. He put his arm around my shoulder and he just said, Doug, thanks so much for today. God just spoke through you to me and it was just what I needed to hear. Thanks, man. And he just carried on walking. I couldn't even respond when it off he went. I got into my car and I was thinking, And there are a couple of old people who are just naturally encouraging. You know, they're like grandparents. They're like, doesn't matter how but much a mess you make of things, they're going to be like, that was fantastic. You know, and you're like, whatever. You know, but this, I really felt like God was saying, hey, don't beat yourself up. Don't get so down. I work even when you are an idiot and even when you feel like you've blown it. I'm still at work there because it's the Spirit that does stuff. And I just went home like encouraged. It was like wind in my sails. That's what the gift of encouragement can do. The gift of giving. The gift of giving. What is the gift of giving? It is a gift. It is mentioned as a gift, listed. It's the ability to give money and other things joyfully and wisely to meet the needs of others. To give joyfully and wisely to meet the needs of others. I believe specifically within the body of Christ, because that's the primary usage of the gifts. How would you know if you have this gift? Well, I think you're more acutely aware of the needs of others. You're not always just thinking about yourself kind of thing. You have this natural bent to be looking out for somebody struggling, inquiring as to how somebody may be doing, especially maybe financially or in areas of provision. Here's a good question. Do you enjoy giving and count it a privilege to give more than a requirement or a burden? Some people tithe out of sort of requirement. They give offerings because that's sort of what's expected of us, whatever. You know you have the gift of giving if giving is just a joy for you. Every single time you count it a privilege to, whether it's known or whether it's anonymous, to bless people, to get involved in their lives in a giving capacity to alleviate the needs that people have. Do you find yourself looking for opportunities to give even when no one asks you? So not when they make appeals, someone knocks on your door, say, hey, could I please? And you're like, for sure. You know, that's, people can be generous when you're confronted with need. But you are looking out for it. You're always scratching around, as it were, looking for an opportunity to use your gift, to put it into action, to bless people through the gift that God has given you. I made the joke last week that none of the students think that they have this gift. You know, this gift, a lot of people think that this gift only operates for the people who have a lot, because it's easy for them to give. They don't feel it. They can just dole cash out and whatever else, left, right, and center, and it doesn't make a difference. God doesn't give gifts according to your financial status. He gives gifts randomly to people. And He gives the gift of giving to the church. And you may have a lot, or you may have next to nothing, and still be able to be using the gift of giving. Because it's not always cash. It's not always stuff that people need. God gives, I believe, through people in significant ways to alleviate other types of needs as well. So don't think that just because you may not have significant amounts of cash, you can't have the gift of giving. Next gift, the gift of leadership. What is the gift? People who have a clear, significant vision from God, able to communicate it and influence others to pursue that vision. There's quite a bit in that. This is one of the misunderstood, weird, almost type gifts, where some people who are should be leading aren't, and some people who are shouldn't, on a variety of different levels. Significant, clear vision and direction from God, an ability to communicate that and influence other people to pursue that. I made the joke in the first week about leaders, that if there's nobody following and if there's no one being influenced, you're not a leader. People that God gives the gift of leadership to in the body, people will look to follow. And people will feel influenced by what that person says and does and the vision that God, because remember, it's the building up of the church. So God speaks through people to impart vision and enthuses people and gives the leaders ability to cast it and draw the people towards following that thing for the building up of the church. How would you know that you're a leader? Well, again, do people follow you? There's no one following, you have to raise some question marks. Do other people express a confidence in your leadership? A confidence in your leadership. They surround you and would mention that. Here's a great question. Do you enjoy the responsibility of the buck stopping with you? For some people, they're like, no, that's cool. You're not a leader. That's no problem. But if you're the person who says, no worries, I'll step up there. the buck can stop with me. That's cool. I will bear the weight and the responsibility of having the final responsibility in that area. That's cool. And God gives you the strength and the grace to step into a role like that. He's giving you a gift of leadership, quite possibly. Do other people look to you for leadership in situations? You get together with a group of people. Maybe you're in the church or whatever. Everyone's looking around, you know? You know, there's like team building activities when you all get together and like you have to pick a leader, you know? Those things are terrible. But often, you know, the leaders, they step forward. They volunteer. Leaders cannot stand seeing a group of people flapping around like salmon on dry land. You know, like, oh, what are we going to do next? You know, they're like, okay, guys, we need a plan. Let's come. You do this, you do that. You see the people on Survivor. You know, they're on TV, that whole game, you know. Shame, the natural leaders, sometimes they hold themselves back because if they appear too strong, they get booted off the island in the first week. But you can often see the people who are leaders there. I mean, they kick the leaders off. They're dumb, the people they put on Survivor. They kick the people who are often the most helpful off the island. The guys with the good ideas get people to do stuff. They send them home because they're a threat. But that's what leaders do. They step in and they encourage people to say, let's go, let's do this thing. Because they often have a clear idea of what needs to be done. Do you find leading enjoyable? If you're in a leadership position and you hate it, then you don't have the gift of leadership. If you're in a position of leadership in your work environment and you're just like, I hate my life here. I wish somebody else would do this. Then it's more than likely God hasn't given you a gift of being a leader. Let me just say something quickly here about the relationship between gifting and character. Because God can gift you, and God has gifted many, many people with tremendous gifts. And remember, the power of the gift comes from God. The impact of what He does through us is not because of us, it's because of the power of the Spirit. And God sovereignly does that in His wisdom for the building up of the church. But God can give a gift, and sometimes a character can lag behind. That's why some people in the exercise of their gifts cause other people to stumble. God can give you the spiritual gift, let's say, of leadership, but you can lead in a way that irritates people. And your maturity is an important part of fanning your gift into flame and exercising your gift in humility and in love and with Christian maturity and generosity. Not thinking, I'm the star of the show. Check out the gifts God's given me. Whoop-de-doo. I'm such a blessing to the church. Your character is lagging miles behind the gifting that God may have given you. Because God doesn't necessarily just give them both, boom, boom, like that. Character is something that we work on. Your gift is that's given. And we're gonna dive into this more a bit next week as to the character and the nature in which our gifts are used. And something the Bible says is even more important than being gifted, and that's having love. Doesn't matter if you don't even necessarily know what your gift is. If you have love, the Bible says that's even better. It's much better. Not an excuse not to know our gifts, though. Next gift is mercy. What's the gift of mercy? It's an ability to feel unusual compassion and sympathy for others and a desire to walk with them and help them through tough times. Important words in there on unusual compassion and sympathy. You know, we all feel some sort of sympathy or compassion for people who are in difficult times. People with the gift of mercy are drawn into those situations and they have that gift that God gives them to dive in there and be useful in those areas. How do you know? Well, you're drawn to those people. Like I said, you rush in when others run away. You want to be close to the hurting, to the sick, to the lonely, to the people who are struggling. You're diving in there. Your natural response to people who are struggling is not judgment, it's compassion. You may well have the gift of mercy. If you drive up to a robot in South Africa, and the first question you have in your head is not, I wonder what mistakes this person made or how lazy they are to be standing at this robot. Your initial reaction is, I wonder what we could do to help this person. I wonder what terrible circumstances landed them in this place. Wonder how we could help. Not judging people for the situation they find themselves in, but compassion as to how you could help them in the circumstance they find themselves. That's a possible way that I thought you could distinguish that. You have above average in respect to patience with people and your understanding of people. People with the gift of mercy need to be patient. because people whose lives are in a mess offer not a quick fix. You know, it's not just like, hey, here's a hug, you know, thumbs up, keep going, high five, you'll be okay, you know, no problem. You're patient, walking with people who take 2 steps forward and 10 steps backwards, and you just, some people, you just want to pull your hair out, just say, don't call me again. You know, sort your life out. When you've fixed yourself up, then give me a ring, you know, when you're on stable ground. You know, all this backwards and forwards, and you know, got your life together, and then it falls apart, and you just cry on the phone the whole time. If you get irritated with people like that, you don't have the gift of mercy. Gift of mercy people are big-hearted, the gift that God has given to help those in the body of Christ who are struggling along there. Next gift is hospitality. What's the gift of hospitality? It's the ability to joyfully make strangers and others feel welcome. This often happens in your own home for the purposes of people receiving friendship. Just because you don't have a home doesn't mean you don't have the gift of hospitality. God has given some of you the gift of hospitality. You just sort of, I hesitate to use the word, a social butterfly. But you love to connect people to each other. You're the people that we need on things like stewarding teams. Who you're looking for new people. You hate somebody who has this gift in bucket loads is somebody like Irene Robinson, Lee's wife. I mean, you more than likely have met Irene if you've been here for a while, because she would have wandered over to you. She didn't know who you were, and she talked to you, and then you told her something, and she said, hey, you know what? Like, and she had normally got a book with her, and she's like connecting you to somebody else, and somebody phones you or whatever. She's just got this huge gift of hospitality. And one of the driving things in the gift of hospitality is you hate to see the kid sitting at lunch, Chinese, at break time, eating his lunch on his own. That kills you. You'd be like, oh, you just want everybody in together. You don't want anyone sitting out there. You want people to be connected to each other. And that's a wonderful gift to have in the church. How do you know if you've got this gift? You love having people over if you have a home. You love having people in your house. Your house is not your fortress that no one can come near. You know, you have no doorbell so no one can interrupt you kind of thing. You don't publish your address. You don't give your phone number out. You know, when you go home, it's your haven. You know, no one must come in there. If that's your mentality, no gift of hospitality. You've got like one of those houses. It's like a train station. Ooh, it's just people going through it the whole time. It's just crazy sometimes. You feel like something's missing if you can't entertain people in your home. If there's some reason that you kind of, you just get like edgy. You're just like, oh, you love having people around, the more the better, and connecting to people to each other. If you do have a home, you see it as a place of ministry, not just, like I said, your shelter from the war out there. You see, hey man, this home where I get people in here, this is my ministry. I'm connecting people to each other, and you love. One of the questions is, do you love and feel the strong sense of satisfaction at seeing people enjoy themselves at an event that you helped organize and plan and put together, be it in your own home or somewhere else? You just love taking a step back and seeing people talking and mixing and seeing the strangers getting more welcomed in, and that just gives you a real thrill, a sense of like, yeah, you know, this is working. Then you have the gift of hospitality, and you are much, much needed in the church. The next gift is the gift of wisdom. What is the gift? Well, it's the special ability to receive insight into how knowledge can best be applied to a specific situation. So it's not just knowledge, it's how can this knowledge, whatever, be applied into a situation for the best possible results in an individual's life, in a situation, in the direction of the church, or whatever. How would you know if you have the gift? Well, I believe you're sought out for advice and counsel by people. If no one ever comes to ask you anything about significant issues, it may be that you are sitting with a dormant gift there and you don't speak up enough. But people with wisdom are often sought out for others. You have an ability to apply biblical truth to people's lives in a way that helps them to make good and godly decisions. So you have an ability to take biblical truth and say, this is what you should do in this instance, or this is what you should do with your life based on the Bible, not I think. I mean, I always hammer this point, and you're probably sick of hearing it. Like, when you have a big decision to make as a Christian, don't take your non-Christian mates out for coffee and say, what do you think? They don't have a clue. God doesn't give them the gift of wisdom. He gives the gift of wisdom to the people in the church. Seek out godly counsel when it comes to big decisions that you need clarity on and you need the peace of God from. God wants to use the mechanisms that He's placed within the church to speak into your situation. How else would you know? Oh, God would bring scriptures to mind often for these people that help bring clarity in a situation. So you're talking with somebody and God brings a scripture into your mind, and as you mention it, somebody, the light's gone. They're like, oh, well, that makes sense, or that's helpful, or okay, well, that closes that door, or whatever. You have sort of this gift that God gives you to draw scriptures out of hidden places in your heart that bring clarity into the lives of people. And you are comfortable grappling with different scenarios and situations and discerning which is the best way to go. That doesn't freak you out. They're kind of, that like, there are a few doors before us. Which one should we go through? You enjoy that and you feel a sense that God is using you to examine each of the options and to wrestle through it. Say, yeah, this looks like the wisest course of action for the church. The next gift is the gift of knowledge. Let me just say something on this gift. There are a couple of schools of thought on this, and in the Corinthian passage there is the words of word of wisdom and word of knowledge mentioned there. Some people take this to believe, especially the word of knowledge, there's a sort of a school of thought that said this is something that's revealed by non-natural means to you. So let me use an example. I just called Andrew. A word of knowledge would come to me, and I'd know that Andrew had lasagna for lunch. You know, that's obviously not of great help. The word of knowledge would be something more important than that. But it's something that you couldn't find out by natural means. It's something that the Holy Spirit would impart to an individual that would be of significant help, that would be needed to be known by the person to whom it's revealed for the purposes of building up the church in the ministry, whatever's going on there. Often used in something else. So say if somebody was praying for a sick person, a word of knowledge may come to the person with the gift of healing, indicating that, look, you know, you might be praying for the gift of healing here, but the real issue is a sin here, and the sin is this. And somebody would say to the person, well, you know, we're praying for this, but your real issue is that you're unrepentant in this area of sin. That's the main issue. Your healing is because you're unrepentant in this area. Stuff that would never normally be able to be known. Now, I'm not going to die for that interpretation. I do believe that it is active and alive in the church. I've seen it happening where God has revealed things that couldn't have been known by any other means to an individual. For the purposes, again, not so you can be a spiritual like Jonathan Edwards. He was on the radio the other day. Actually, I wing that. He like guesses his way through the whole thing. It's nonsense, man. It's like there's the devil at work there. I always get phone calls from people and I mention things like that. But that's not from God, man. That's what the Bible makes clear. Hey, it's either God or it's not. It's the enemy of God. And that acts not God glorifying. So the only other option is that it's the devil at work when that acts speaking and crossing over and doing all of his weird stuff. This is not like a Christian equivalent of that, like, ooh, you know, crossing over to the other side, picking up vibes, information, like the spiritual CIA, finding out stuff about people, you know. It's a specific thing, I think, that God would give for the purpose of building up the church, when it specifically needs to be known, when the health of the church is suffering because things are shrouded and God gives an ability for the knowledge, the curtains are drawn back and things are made clear. Like I said, I wouldn't die for the side of that interpretation, and I'm not sure that that's what it means specifically here with the gift of knowledge. I believe that it's possibly more exercised. The gift of knowledge is the ability to discover, to accumulate, to analyze and clarify information that's pertinent for the growth of the body of the church. People who have this gift love to study the Bible. They love reading stuff that expands their horizons in terms of the scriptures and the theology and things of pertinence to the body of Christ, to the church. They've got good memories. They can remember lots of stuff. People seek them out for answers for biblical issues. They have an ability to understand the complex issues of our faith and distill them and make them accessible for the rest of us mortals. I believe this is a genuine gift that God gives. Somebody like, if you know a guy like D.A. Carson has this gift. Just hear the guy talking, you just think, you've got to be kidding me, dude. Like, how can you read so many books? How can you remember so much stuff? We were at a conference a couple of years ago, Lee and I, and had a question and answer session at the end of it. And like I actually just whipping random questions out. Hey, dude, like here's this question. It's like out of left field, like hectic question. I'm thinking, good luck. Yeah, there he stands up. He says, well, you know, there's a couple of ways that we can answer that. And prattles on for like 10, 15 minutes, like just giving the most incredible answer. You're thinking, pal, honestly, like, what are you, Google or what? Like, it's just like, you know, just type in the thing and out comes the answer. It's just amazing. It's a gift that God gives. Again, it's for the building up of the church. It's so that people can, because we all have answers. And sometimes God gives a gifted gift to people like that to help us with that stuff. But I would be hesitant to say, don't discount the other interpretation of the gift of knowledge, because it's no less active and useful in the church. It's less common, I would say, and often coupled with other gifts in its operation. What about other gifts? We don't have long. Some of you are thinking, hey, my gift hasn't been mentioned, man. I play in the worship team. What's going on with you? I pray. Why are you leaving me out of this? I'm celibate. Mention my gift. Let's just hit that one quickly. Celibacy. Paul describes celibacy as a gift. He uses exactly the same word to describe all these other gifts as he used to describe the gift of celibacy. Everyone's thinking, God, please, don't let Doug look at me when he mentions this. I'm just going to look at all of my students in my small group and pray for this gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, Paul says, I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. Same word that he's using there. I think this gift is the joyful ability to enjoy singleness so that you can be more effective in the kingdom of God. Yeah, people who have the gift of celibacy are not unhappily single. They're not like, oh, God made me celibate. You know, wait till I get to heaven, God, I'm going to sort you out. It's a joy. It's a gift that God has given. They have the grace to be single, to go through life single, and they see that almost as a gift that God has given to enable them to do more for the kingdom of God. Yeah, when you get married and you have kids, like your productivity levels slow down a little bit. You've got like a wife or a husband to worry about. You've got kids. You like need to be fed and looked after and whatever else. And like sometimes you want to rush off and go to Afghanistan and whatever. But you're like, hey, you know, like my wife's not so keen on that idea. So you know, those people that who are celibate, they can just go. It's just like them. It's like, whew, you know, God can move these people around. And they're a great gift to the church. How would you know you have this gift? Well, you would be single. But more than that, you would be happily single. You would be happily single, I think. You would understand it. The gift of artisans, artists, musicians, craftsmen. In Exodus 31, from verse 2, there's in the account of Bezalel, the son of Uri. It says that God filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for working gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones and all that stuff. And this is a gift that, again, some people make a big song and dance that's not mentioned in the New Testament. So like now we're scratching around a little bit to string together a gift. I think God does give an ability in this area. And I believe it would be the ability to forward the kingdom of God, to build up the church through the creative expression of these gifts, whether it's singing or carpentry, drama, graphic arts, painting, sculpting, audio visual stuff, that when you do something with that, it creates a spiritual response that builds up the church, that reaches out, that strengthens the body through whatever. I mean, I'm not the world's most arty kind of oak. And I was joking with somebody else the other day about poems. You know, I'm like a poetry philistine. You know, I read poems, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. It's like, why don't they write in English? Then I can understand. Like, all this like, ob, 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 you know, trees, flowers, whatever it is. Poetry just like lost on me. And like, that's just not for me. But some people read poetry and they're just like, their spirit soars, you know. They're just like lifted. And it's, you know, I think God gives, Matt Redman, I think we sang one of his songs tonight, that new one. You know, Matt Redman's got that gift, because when we sing that, God gives the gift to write songs that we sing together as a church, and we feel built up, we feel edified, we worship God. It's a gift to the church that God gives. People who paint, sculptors, all of those things. I don't want to diss anyone with a creative ability, but it's not just you can paint or you can do whatever, that when you do it, the body of Christ is built up. You know, there are a lot of really good musicians in the world who just make a lot of noise, and it's self-glorifying stuff. There are a lot of indulgent painters and poets or whatever, and book writers who just, it's all about them, not about building. When the body of Christ is built up, a gift is an operation there. So that's probably a good test for that. And I think it's fairly self-evident, those things. I mean, I don't have any of those gifts in the arty-farty department there. I can't sing, I can't paint, I can't write poems, don't want to write poems, can't write book. You know, like that department, it's not my gift in the area. But others of you, that's you. When you do, I mean, the proof is almost in the pudding. You do it, and people look at that, and they're built up in their faith. It's like, some of you are talented in that area, but you haven't really exercised it in the area of the church. And so you don't really know whether it's a gift or just a talent. I would say give it a stab in the church. See how it works and how God breathes through it, as it were, with His Spirit to encourage the body. Very quickly, a couple of others. The gift of intercession. Some people believe that God gives specifically a gift of intercession. It's not specifically mentioned in the Bible. I do believe God gives grace to people to pray more diligently, more effectively, more regularly, more faithfully, with greater insight than the majority of us, that they see greater answers to their prayers. They have a deeper desire and a passion for prayer. They're sensitive to the needs of others, often roping in other gifts into intercession so that they know what to pray for and all of that. And you would know, largely these people already know that they are gifted intercessors because they're busy doing it. Some people would see from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we'll get into next week, the first few verses there, they would see a couple of other gifts. One is voluntary poverty, which again, everyone's praying that they don't have, which he says, if I surrender all that I have, give everything I have to the poor. Some people see in that a gift of voluntary poverty, to joyfully endure poverty for the sake of the strengthening of the church and the extension of the kingdom of God. I would say that, again, you know if you have that gift because of your outlook on life, your current circumstances. You're loosely attached to everything that you have. You'd quite happily walk away from everything for the glory of God, for the strengthening of the church, and for the building up of the kingdom. And then others also see in that, you know, if I was burnt at the flames, the gift of martyrdom. Some people have said it's not really a gift because you only really get to use it once. And that wasn't meant to be a joke, but I suppose it is funny-ish. That you only get to use it once, and like, how does anyone know that your gift has been used to build up the church? I think many of us have been encouraged by the stories of people who've been martyred for their faith in Christ. And so that would have the effect. That would have the test that we run gifts through. If the church is strengthened, built up, the kingdom is extended, a gift is more than likely in operation there. Sure, we need to close. But I want to remind you of what we said last week, that sometimes we all need to be all-rounders. We all need to be all-rounders. We all need to bat when we're called upon, even if it's not in our area. But that it is a healthy thing. It is a good and godly thing to strive to find out how God has gifted you. And we do this through prayer, through seeking God, saying, God, please open up my eyes and show me what is the gift or gifts that you've given to me. You can do some helpful questionnaires and tests. And I think we're probably going to run a Saturday morning thing where we help some people who've approached us with questions in this area. Often it intersects with your passions, stuff that you're already interested in. God doesn't often call you out of left field into a totally different area. It's going to line up with a lot of that normal stuff of who you are, your personality and your passion. There's feedback from other people about whether they've been blessed through what you've done. I mean, if there's nothing happening there, this may not be a gift in operation. And I just want to encourage us to dive in. The best way to find out what your gift is just to start doing, to just get stuck in to the life of the church. Some of you are we don't have pews here, so you can't be a pew warmer, but you're a seat warmer. And you come on Sunday and we love having you here, and you maybe even come to something else and we love having you there as well. But we would love nothing more. And as we spoke about last week, the body needs you. The body needs you for our health and for our strength. Every part of the body needs to be doing the work that God has called it to do so that the body can run the way God intended us to do. And if you're just warming up a seat, I want to encourage you, get stuck in somewhere where your passion lines up and see, you may be surprised at the gifts that start to pour out of you, how God starts to use you. That's the best way to figure it out. Start doing and things will become clear. Let's pray together.